For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. John chapter 7. It's a long chapter. If you're there, say amen. Amen. 53 verses. Billy, should I just read them all? You ready? Amen. Billy voted to read them all. I'm not going to read them all. But I would like to begin in verse 1 of John chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Now, Galilee is more than a sea. It's a region, the region of Galilee. It's in the north end of Israel. It's a beautiful area to this day. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Jewry or Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, go into Judea, that thy disciples, notice, also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret. He himself seeketh to be known openly. You can almost read the sarcasm of his brothers. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then, verse 6, Jesus said unto them, My time's not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast. He said, Go ye, you all go up to the feast of tabernacles, the feast of booths, if you will. I go not up yet unto this feast. Jesus always observed the feast of the day, the seasons, the Passover, and he would observe this one. He said, you all go up. And he said, the world hateth you, but it hateth me first, because I testify of it. Now go ye up unto this feast, verse 8, I go not up yet, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, verse 9, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast. Not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? Where is he? There was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. I want you to notice that phrase. Look in verse 12. There was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Some said, He's a good man. Others said, Nay, but he's a deceiver. Some said, Yes. Others said, No. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us. And thank you for heaven. Thank you that we've been pointed there today by the songs and the fellowship we've had today. I pray that you'll bless this simple message to our hearts. Speak to every heart. Help us to obey you in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice that phrase, some said, others said. Did you ever think about that? Some said this. Others said that. Some said this about Jesus. I remember an old book I have. I think I still have it, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And the author said that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. I believe him to be the Lord. And I think what he did on this earth and what he's doing in heaven prove that he's the Lord. Some said, Yes. Some said, He's a good man. Some said, He's the God man. Some said, He's the Savior. Some said, He's Messiah. Some said, He's the son of Belial or the son of the devil. Others said, No. Some said, He's the Savior. Some said, He's the Redeemer. Some said, He's the Christ, the son of the living God. But others said, No, He's a deceiver. Others said, No, he's the son of Belial. Others said, no, he's an imposter. Others said, no, he's a liar. What does the Bible say? And I think we see here in the Bible what the Bible says. What did Peter say? Peter said in verse 69 of chapter 6, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had it right. Let me ask you a question. Some said yes, some said, others said no. But what do you say? What do you say? We've been studying about, we've been studying through the book of Genesis now for many months, and now we're in Genesis chapter 24, 25, last week and today. And last week we studied about when the servant went to seek a bride for Isaac. And they all fixed up the dowry and set everything in place. And the servant went out and at the command of the father, Abraham, and he said, now you get someone of our heritage. You get someone of our area, of our faith and family. And, you know, don't get a wife of the Canaanites. You go and... And so he prayed, kind of put out a fleece and said, Lord, lead me to this woman. And here comes Rebecca out and she offers water and then gives water to all of the camels, which would have been quite a task to do, and did all of that. And he rejoiced about that and approached her that knowing that God had given him the green light. And she invited him home and he met the family and all of that. And so they're all, and so he tells her father and brothers why he came. And they said, well, you know, if God's in this, we're not going to be against it. And they make this big arrangement. And then finally, one of them says, well, maybe we better ask Rebecca. That's a good thing, you know. Even in that culture, I'm glad that they said, well, maybe we should ask Rebecca. What does Rebecca think? And so they come to Rebecca and said, there's a son that the father wants you to meet. Amen. His name's Isaac. His father owns the cattle on the thousand. His father has all of the palace for you to live. His father's wonderful and you should meet him. Finally, it came down to it and they said, will you go with this man? Will you go to meet your bridegroom who you've never met? And she said, I will. And that's what it all comes down to. What do you think? And she went, and when she saw him coming, when they saw the camels, boy, she jumped off the camel and put a veil over her face and went and offered herself, and he took her as his bride, Isaac did. Man, what a wonderful type of the Father and the Son and the Spirit of God bringing us to him. But ultimately, it came down to, what do you think, Rebecca? What do you think, Rebecca? What do you think, Rebecca? I just happened to look right at you when I said that. What do you think? I mean, it's up to you. It's your decision. And that was their decision. Some said, yes, we believe he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Others said, no, can't be him. We know his father. His father's Joseph, the carpenter. Over there in Nazareth. We know him and we don't accept him. In fact, we believe that Messiah is going to come and it's going to be a big wing ding, wham bam thing. I mean, it's going to be something. Others rejected. Some received. Still true today, isn't it? Who is he? That is the great question of the hour. That is the great question of all time. Who is he? Who is this King of glory? The Lord of glory is his name. He is the King of all kings. I want you to notice in this passage here in John chapter 7, some said, others said, but you're going to have to weigh the evidence. You're going to have to read the scripture. You're going to have to reflect on your eternal destiny. Some say, yeah, he's the one. Others say, no, we're looking for another. I tell you what, if Jesus is not he, I don't know where else you're going to look. Where are you going to look? That's what Peter was saying. Peter was saying, Lord, if you don't have the answer, where are we going to go if you don't have the answer? You don't have it. If it's not you, where do we look? I want you to notice, first of all, when we come to this great debate, some said, others said, some said, others said. Notice the danger that Jesus stepped into here. In fact, the 3.5 years of ministry, in fact, even when he was born, there was great danger. You know, the Bible says Herod would seek the young child to destroy him. And Jesus was taken by his parents down into Egypt for a time. His life was filled with danger, and he didn't shrink away from danger. And it wasn't that he was running from danger, but his hour had not yet come, although the hour of his death on the cross would be soon. I think it would be within 6 months. I like what he said here. Notice, first of all, the danger. It says that he would not walk anymore in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. But notice not only the danger for him, but there was the denial of him. I would think that his brethren would have believed on him. They did, I think, after his resurrection. But you would think that they would have believed on him. I mean, how would you like to be raised in a home where your brother was the perfect child? How many would say, I was raised in a home. My brother was the perfect child. That's what my parents thought, you know. Oh, did we hit a little something over here? Heard a little moaning over here. Who's the perfect child? You're the perfect child, dude? I didn't think so. Yeah. Yeah. My brother used to say, you're not as hard on Rick as you were on me. Well, I was easy to raise. Maybe there was some resentment there that his brethren had toward him. Well, Jesus never does anything wrong. No, he didn't, you know. If he had to be in an 11, he was in a quarter of, you know. He never did anything wrong. Well, that's true. And he's the only one that didn't. Only one. But there was a denial of him, not only among the people, but there was a denial of his messiahship. There was a denial of him as the Son of God, even among his brethren. Now, Joseph and Mary knew who he was by this time. They understood. In fact, Mary would say at the marriage feast of Cana, when they came to fill the water pots, she said unto them, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. His very first miracle there was at a wedding. And so we see the denial of him. And that's still true today, is it not? A lot of people don't mind coming to church. But to accept Christ as your Savior and allow him to radically change you, and therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I mean, to believe on him, to live for him, to pray to someone I've never seen, and to trust in him. I mean, it's all right to adopt the practices and some of the principles of the church, but I mean to pray to someone that lived 2,000 years ago and say that he rose again from the dead, and I don't know if I'm ready to do that. But that's what it comes down to. Some said, others said. There was a denial of him. It says in verse 4, there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Neither did his brethren believe in him. I like what Jesus said to them, though. He said, my time's not yet come, but your time's always ready. My time's not yet, but he said, right now, you can be saved. We all have an appointment. We're going to meet God one day. Can I remind you of that here as we come on this first Sunday of the fall quarters? We think of autumn and harvest time. We're all going to come to an end of ourselves, the end of this life, unless Jesus comes and raptures us out. But listen, we're all going to have a time of reckoning. And it'd be better if you're reconciled to God on this side of eternity, because once you close your eyes in death and the spirit leaves the body, James said, there'll be no more opportunities. The denial of him. The denial of him. And then I want you to notice, thirdly, not only was there, by the way, he said, I'm Lord of time. Your time is limited. When he said, my time's not yet come, my time to go to the cross. Satan did his best to kill Jesus. He said, jump off the high point of the temple. Doesn't the Bible say that God's angels will come under you and save you? And Jesus said, it's written. But notice there's doctrine about him in this chapter. Look at the doctrine about him. All the Bible speaks of him. And in verse 14, it says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them, look in verse 16, and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You know, the world says, show me and I'll believe. God says, believe and I'll show you. The doctrine comes and understanding comes after we obey him. You can't make Jesus Lord of your life until you receive him as the Savior of your life. And so as we obey him and we trust him as our Savior, and simply put, we receive God's free gift of heaven and salvation. We receive that gift freely and fully and forever. As we receive that, then we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of God living in us, and we understand the doctrine. I didn't know anything about much of what I did when I got saved in February of 1972, but I did know this. I was a sinner. Christ was the Savior. He was buried, rose again from the dead. He ever lives at the right hand of God. And I was a dirty, rotten sinner headed toward a devil's hell. And if I would receive him as my Savior, I could be saved. And I thought, I'm trusting that. I'm trusting him. And I like what it says in verse 15, this man. And then notice in verse 17, any man can be saved. Any man can know the doctrine if they'll trust this man as their Savior. God says, believe and I will show you. Back in chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, you'll know of the doctrine because it all begins with me. It all begins with me. I love how the Bible all lays out here in chapter 7. We read about this man in verses 15 and 27. We read of any man in verses 17 and 37. We read of a man in verse 23. That could be you. We read of never man spake like this man in verse 46. We read of no man in verse 44. The doctrine. Heard a preacher on the radio say one time, don't come to our church. You can come to our church. We don't preach no doctrine down here. Well, I'll tell you what. They don't preach some doctrine. You know, they preach something. Doctrine is what we believe. They're preaching some doctrine. Everyone believes something. And I'll tell you, our doctrine begins with Jesus. It is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It ends with Jesus. And it begins with Jesus. It's sustained by Jesus. And one day it will all come, and it will all come to fruition, and we'll see Jesus. Not only will we be transformed here, but we'll be translated and transported over there, all because of Jesus. Some say, others say. What do you say? Jesus said, how know if this man? They said, how do you know? He didn't study in the seminary. He didn't study in the among the Sanhedrin. But yet at 12 years old, he sat and astounded the greatest minds of his day. He asked them questions, and he answered their questions. You know why? Because he is the doctrine. He is the doctrine. I mean, listen, without Jesus, you have no doctrine. Without Jesus, you have no word. Without Jesus, you have no beginning. Without Jesus, you'll have no ending. Notice the debate. And it goes on today. In verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? That's pretty stout, isn't it, Jesus, that you'd say something like that? Why do you go about to kill me? Jesus said, Moses gave you the law. And they said, how can he spout to us the truth of the law when he's not a real rabbi? But yet Mary would stand at the tomb of Jesus and call him Rabboni, the supreme teacher. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Verse 20, who goeth about to kill thee? And Jesus answered and said, I've done one work and you all marvel. That one work was found in John chapter 5 and verse 39, where over there, Jesus, or John chapter 5 and verse 1, at the pool of Bethesda, he healed the man, the impotent man that laid on a reed mat for 38 years, and Jesus touched him. He said, wilt thou be made whole? He said, sir, I have no man when the waters trouble to put me into the pool. And he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And he got up and he rolled up that reed mat and he walked out of there leaping and praising. And all the Pharisees saw was him carrying his mat with him and said, Jesus, you healed him on the Sabbath. People can't get right with God on the Sabbath. They can't get healed. They can't get born again on the Sabbath because you're breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what he said. The grand debate. Jesus said, verse 23, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every wet hole on the Sabbath day? Jesus said, well you're circumcising these babies on the eighth day. All I did was tell a man, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He said, you're sort of contradicting yourself here. You can't out-debate Jesus. You can't out-debate his word. You can't out-debate his declaration of himself. But notice the grand debate, and it still goes on today. Well, preacher, you can't say that Christ is the only way to heaven. But yet that's what he claimed. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm not one of many ways, I'm the way. Without Jesus, you'll not make heaven, friend. If you're watching by way of internet today, let me remind you, without Jesus, you can't make heaven. You'll not make heaven. I'll not make heaven. Listen, we can debate him. We can deliberate. Notice how they deliberated on all of this. It says in verse 27, howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. See, we know his address. He lives right over there in Nazareth. That's where he used to live. We used to go to his carpenter shop. We used to buy goods from him and his father. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught in verse 28, you both know me and you know whence I am. And I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. And Jesus makes an amazing statement here. You should memorize this. I should memorize this. Look at verse 29. Sometimes these great verses of deity and declaration and deliberation, decision are tucked away in great chapters like this. Look in verse 29 of John chapter 7. Jesus said, but I know him. I am from him. And he hath sent me. Woo! I mean, what else do you need? Jesus said, I know him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus said, I know him. I'm from him. And he hath sent me. That's all we need to know. That's it. Virgin born, sinless life, vicarious death for every man. I said vicarious death for every man. You say, well, are you a Calvinist? No, I'm a Christian. I'm born again, glad of it. I don't need any of the points of John Calvin. John Calvin, I'll meet him in heaven, shake his hand, but he was a sinner that needed to be born again just like I do. John Calvin, my hind leg. I'm not a reformist, I'm a regenerative. I've been regenerated. Christ saved me. Christ redeemed me. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. If that's the only verse I had, John 3:16, that'd be enough to put out the flames of this false cult of Calvinism. It'll kill your church and put out the flames of evangelism. It's a prideful belief. It's a prideful belief. Well, I'm one of the elect. I don't know about you. Hogwash. I said hogwash. I know him, I'm from him, and he has sent me. Why don't we just boil down the Bible in its simplicity? The Bible says he came, gave his life a ransom for all. And that's what all means, all. Notice the deliberation. Jesus kind of summarized it there. But as we think about who is he, some said, others said, there's the danger of delay. Look in verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. Jesus saying there, listen, you better make the decision now. There's a danger of delay. Don't wait. Trust Christ. But finally we come to the declaration. Christ, who is he? Some said, others said. Some said he had an affair with Mary Magdalene. If he had done that, he couldn't have died on the cross for our sins. I don't believe that he did that. The Bible doesn't declare that. Some said he was the brother of Satan, one of the angels. False. Who is this King of glory? Christ is his name, but look in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, any man, a man, this man, if any man believe and thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, verse 38, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now get the picture here. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. For 6 days, the priest had been carrying big golden flask and jars and clay pots of water. They've been carrying them and pouring them out in the temple area. Very symbolic of cleansing and all of that. But on the seventh day, they don't do that. On the seventh day, they don't carry any water. And on the seventh day, maybe in the heat of the day, Jesus steps up. No water being carried, and Jesus, in a very symbolic way, steps up and said, I'm the living water. There's no water being carried today. And you don't have to carry any water anymore, because he that drinks of me shall never thirst. That's what he was saying here. Notice his declaration in verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Why do we make salvation harder than it is? He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly, Jesus said, shall flow rivers of living water. His declaration by him. You know, Jesus made some strong declarations. He made some strong claims, but he backed every one of them up by his miracles, by his message, by his messiahship, by his birth, by his sinless life. He backed them all up with his word. He knew the word from Genesis until it would be finished. He knew it all, and he said, they speak of me. If any man thirst. No water was carried on the day of the feast. Jesus said, hey, if you want to drink of the water, I'm here. His declaration. Again, may I read what Peter said? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? John 6 and verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The declaration. Thou art that Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. But notice, even after his declaration, there was division because of him. Some said, others said, look in verse 40. Some said of a truth, this is that the prophet. Others said, verse 41, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Others said, some said. Others said, some said. We'd better weigh everything by the scriptures. So, in verse 43, there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, said, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. That's why in the darkest hour of your life, you can say Jesus, and he'll part the water for you. He'll calm the storm in your life. That's why today, if you'd repent of sin and come to Christ, you can say Jesus, and before you can get Jesus out of your mouth, believing in your heart, Christ can save you and write your name in the book of life. You can be saved today. Never man spake like this man. Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. He said, I'm the bread of life. If you eat of me, you'll never hunger. He said, I'm the water of life. If you'll drink of me, you'll never thirst. He said, I'm the living water. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said, if you trust in me, you can go to heaven and live forever. He said, I am the I am. John 8, 58. They picked up stones to stone him. He said, I am the lily of the valley. I am the bright and morning star. I am the I am. I'm the I am above all I ams. There was a division. Some said, others said. And so in verse 48, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? They were counting noses, weren't they? Counting votes. And I want you to notice what happened. Verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Some say that Nicodemus may not have been saved yet. But if he wasn't saved, he was on the right track. He was standing up for Jesus among the hardest group of people you could possibly stand before. I mean, the arrows were flying. I mean, they hated Jesus. They were coming after him. And he stood up among the Pharisees. He stood up among the doctors of the law. He stood up among the rulers of the Jews. He stood up among those that were trying to kill Jesus. And they said, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? And Nicodemus stands up and says, doth our law judge any man before it hear him? And we know what he doeth. He said, you're going to put an innocent man to death before he even has a trial. I believe that Nicodemus had made the right decision. They answered and said to him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Decision. It's decision time. Nicodemus, maybe he'd been a disciple. Maybe he came to Jesus by night and had kind of kept his decision under wraps. I don't know. But I'm thinking right here is when he stood up and made his decision. Sink or swim. We find him 6 months later coming to the tomb to beg the body of Jesus with Joseph of Arimathea. We see a rich man and we see a ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And the Bible says, and every man went unto his own house. There was a decision for him. Every man went unto his own house. It was decision time. Decision time. We come back to our text, verse 12. Some said, he's a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Some said, but others said. Jesus said, my time's not yet come, but your time is here. Don't delay trusting me as your Savior. They all went back to their house. Verse 53, every man went unto his own house. And does that not kind of summarize it all? They deliberated. Jesus declared. They debated. They talked about doctrine. They were back and forth. Some said, others said. But when it came right down to it, everybody went back to their own house. You know what? It was decision time. What will you do then with Jesus? This man, any man, a man, never man, spake like this man, no man, the God man. The Bible says his own house. What's that mean? They went home. All of this was in their mind. All of this was in their heart. They were thinking about all of this. They all went back to their own house. That's what we're going to do today. We're all going back to our house. What will you do then with Jesus in his house? What have you done for him? What have you done with him? What have you allowed him to do in your heart? They all went to their own house. It was decision time. And so that's the message today.